Rules, Money Rules, Money. Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
Today's topic is crucial for any parent with minor children, the Guardian's Fund. If you've heard of it but aren't quite sure what it entails, or if you're wondering how to keep your children's inheritance out of it, then stay tuned. Erin White, a certified financial planner at Crew Invest, joins us to detail the what, why, and why not of this fund. Welcome, Erin, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Erin, can you give us a brief overview of the Guardian's Fund and its purpose?
To me, under South African law, minors who are children under the age of 18 cannot manage their own inheritance. So the Guardian's Fund was designed to receive these assets on their behalf. It is essentially a state-run fund which receives these funds inherited by the minors, administers on their behalf until they turn 18.
And what circumstances lead to a child's inheritance being placed in the fund?
Can happen through either a last will and testament where the minor was nominated to receive the funds directly, or if there was no valid will and they inherited through interstate succession. So these are typically where you'd find that a child would receive an inheritance that would need to be placed in the Guardian's Fund.
Erin, how does the Guardian's Fund handle these funds? Are they invested?
So the Master of the High Court will direct that the funds get transferred to the Guardian's Fund. Once they are transferred there, an account is established in the name of the minor beneficiary. And all the money that is received by the Guardian's Fund is invested with the Public Investment Corporation. They are a government-owned asset management company. So they are invested and they accrue interest at a rate set periodically by the finance minister, which compounds monthly from the date of receipt. So it's important to note also that there are no administrative fees within this fund as the services are provided free of charge. They are invested.
And what expenses can a child's guardian claim for, and how does the claim process work?
The guardian is able to claim for expenses that are essential for the child's needs. So things such as school fees, clothing, medical aid costs, food. But these claims are capped at 250,000 rand. And to obtain these funds, the guardian must provide evidence and it must be approved by the Master of the High Court. So what this would look like is the guardian would need to complete application forms, provide supporting documents such as invoices and quotes. You can imagine this is quite a time-consuming and lengthy process if you've got to provide all these documents. However, once approved, the funds will then be paid either into the legal guardian's bank account or can be made directly to a third party, such as the child's school, for example.
You mentioned that the claims process is quite cumbersome, but what are some of the other biggest drawbacks or challenges families face if the child's inheritance ends up in the fund?
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest drawbacks is with it being such a lengthy process, you know, if a child needs something urgently, these needs might not be met on time. So anyone with school-going children would know that you're often notified of expenses outside of school fees, and there's usually a time frame to these expenses. So with these delays, either the child is going to miss out on certain events, or the legal guardian then has to borrow money in lieu of a claim being paid, which is clearly not ideal. The other drawback is that as the legal guardian, you've got no control over how the funds are invested because it is invested in a prescribed manner. So while that's done to safeguard the majority of minors, your child could have a very different need that requires a certain type of investment strategy. So having the funds placed in the guardian's fund can compromise both the child and the legal guardian.
So what happens when a child turns 18? Can they simply access the remaining funds?
Yeah, they're entitled to claim any remaining funds together with any interest that had accrued. What it would involve is that the beneficiary would need to complete forms and provide legal documents such as their bank account, their ID documents and fingerprints. Once it is approved, then the funds will be paid to the beneficiary when they turn 18. Erin, given all these factors, it sounds like there may be a better way to ensure an inheritance goes to minor children. Is this where a testamentary trust comes in play?
Absolutely. To ensure that, you know, the money intended for your minor child is looked after and managed appropriately and in their best interests, I think establishing a testamentary trust is a very effective solution to see to that.
And can you walk us through the process of setting up a testamentary trust?
Absolutely. First, I would say, you know, you'd want to get advice from a legal or financial expert who can help you draft a valid will, which will then make provision for the formation of a testamentary trust. It's important to note that this trust will only come into being in the event of your death, and you need to nominate a set of trustees to the testamentary trust who you know and believe will have the financial and legal ability to manage the assets on behalf of your children. It's also important to ensure that you nominate trustees that are independent, because the assets are not going to be handled directly by those trustees. They'll be transferred into the trust, and the trustees have a duty to look after them.
Are there other considerations parents should keep in mind when establishing this trust?
I think it's important to understand the legal and tax implications of a trust because they differ to individuals. One thing I hadn't mentioned earlier is to also just remember to nominate a guardian for your minor children. And this guardian doesn't necessarily have to be the same person that is a trustee of the trust, but you want to make sure that you appoint somebody who's going to take care of your children's needs. I think also you need to consider if your children have special needs and need to be taken care of in a different way. This should certainly be considered. And also think about what age you feel your children are ready to receive these funds. So, you know, in a guardian's fund, the children are able to access the funds at 18. But often we see parents don't believe that their children at 18 are old enough or mature enough, if I can put it that way, to manage a lump sum of money. So also consider what age do you think your children would be mature enough to receive those funds. Typically, we would see ages around 23 to 27.
Erin, just as we come to the end of this episode, are there any other estate planning factors that parents need to check off their list when securing their children's financial future?
Yeah, I think outside of the trust and your will, I think it's important that you just revise what policies and investments you have in place and how these are distributed upon your death and ensure that your beneficiaries nominated are up to date. And then for the funds that are paid into your estate, just to keep in mind that if you do establish a testamentary trust through your will and your will is later deemed invalid, the trust cannot be created. So it's really important to consult an expert to ensure that your trust is valid and is done with proper execution.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you, Erin, for shedding light on this critical topic.
Thank you so much, Tumi. Have a wonderful day further.
That was Erin White, a certified financial planner at Crewe Invest.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules Podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.